Well, Brother Alex Fisher was the choice of our association last year to preach the introductory sermon today. And Brother Fisher is the pastor at Lions Missionary Baptist Church in Louisville. He formerly pastored Harmony Missionary Baptist Church at Versailles, Kentucky. And he was ordained by Rocky Mount Missionary Baptist Church down in Macon County, Tennessee. You were native of Macon County?
Allen County.
Allen County, okay. Well, Allen County, well, that's a little better than Tennessee.
Amen.
But I've been looking forward to hearing him preach today.
Amen.
And I know he desires an interest in your prayers, so let's hold him up before the Lord as he comes to bring the message today. Brother Fisher.
I'd like to thank each one made the trip this way, however short or long that it might have been. Glad that the Lord delivered you safe this way. Thank you for Liberty Church, hospitality. Thankful for just being able to be at the house of God. Saw Brother Tony Day late last night and this morning. I think he was glad to see me. As the alternate, I appreciate the songs. I appreciate the association asking me to come, and I do appreciate Lions Church coming to support me. I'm thankful that we're able to come to the house of God, and for our brothers and sisters that have prayed and continued in prayer, I thank you very much, and I ask you to continue. We need the Lord's help. And for those that have your Bibles and like to follow along, I encourage you to do so in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. In the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, I am going to preach just what God gave me to the best of my ability, and I ask you to pray. I don't know what you came out to the house of God and expected, but I do expect that God will help me. There's not been one time He hasn't. And in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians this morning, 13th verse, he begins, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And I'll try my very best to preach from that part. Ahem. My heart wants the word to go out in the manner that you may be built up and edified and strengthened in God. He said that there that you may be strengthened in the inward man. The one that should prevail in our daily walk is the inward man. It should be such that the outward man is in subjection to the inward man, but many times we find that we fall short. But I can tell you that what's on my heart is the love of God. It's going to be something that God pressed upon my heart so many days ago. And I've tried my very best with such a heavy heart to be able to carry everything that I can that God has given on my heart. And I ask you to pray for the liberty of God to help me. Because I believe that it's for our good that the gospel goes out if we'll receive it as the word of God. Amen. And not just as myself as I'm anybody. Because I'm not. But there is one that is the righteous King of Kings that makes all things good and upright. Even a vessel as this. And I'm thankful that there are some things that the love of God is not. Sometimes we can understand some things by what it doesn't say or what is not is included. But the love of God, it's not jealous, it's not envious, because if it was, then it would be lacking in what we need. But God's love is 100% sufficient for what our needs are. And I'm thankful that it is that way. The love of God is not hypocritical nor covetous, but it is. The love of God is sure and steadfast when we lean on God. Amen. He said, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for us. In other words, that the atoning blood of Christ was shed for our good, for our blessedness, that we might have a way back to Him, you see. That we have a way that we can cry out to God and find that sweet peace of God. That passeth understanding, that is greater than we can put a finger on. And he was writing there to the Ephesians about this sweet love. When we're rooted and grounded in the love of God, he said, thank you, Lord, in one place. He said that Judah, how may he put their roots downward, that they may produce fruit upward. That when we're rooted and grounded in the love of God, that when the storms come and assail, that we still have the righteous King to bear the weights and the walk with this pilgrimage. That we have one in the midnight hour and in the daytime to be able to go to and talk to. That He understands beyond compare, and that He knows the walk because He walked it, yet without sin.
Amen.
I believe He said that He was tempted as we are, yet without sin. I'm glad that He knows how weak our way is, how that we're made from the dust of the earth, and we're just, He said in one place, I believe it's pinned down, He said He knows the frame in which He made us. In other words, He knows every little spot and speck about us. And yet He loved us enough to come and give His life for us. He stayed in the place that we couldn't. He hung in the place that none of us could. He stood in the breach and in the gap that we could not stand. For our way, that we could have a way back to Him. For His love is great. When we're rooted and grounded in the truth, we're able to withstand the winds of doctrine, of error. We're able
To stand when the winds blow and the troubles come, when we're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and we put our effort and our weak way out our hands to the plow and put it such that God is well pleased. That the world may not be pleased, that they may not see that there's a reason for it, or such as the world is, but that God may see and get the honor and the glory of it all. When we're rooted and grounded in love, we esteem our brethren higher than ourselves. We hold tight to what's right, you see. What's upright, what the scripture book says, what it is, you see. We're not carried away with this way or that way, but we're grounded. I believe he said in the second chapter of the book of Colossians, he said, rooted and grounded. He said, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. It's needful for us to be in a point where we can dig down into the scripture book and not find out what I want to find, not what another wants to find, but what does God say about it? What does he say about the doctrines that we have? And if they be upright, let them be. And if they be wrong, let us get close to God. Thank you, Lord, in one place. I can tell you that we can get close to him. And we need to be close to God that we can feel his light. He said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I'm glad that when we get close to God and we can feel his warmth, our wax doesn't get where it's caked up. You have a candle and the light begins to dim and the wax begins to draw cold. He said, maybe it is in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus speaking, when he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's here. It's here. But if we can step a little closer to the light of God and hold to the warmth of God and feel the rays of his sun, and he gives us the, thank you, Lord, he gives us the water of the free water of life, that we may drink and that we may be nourished through the roots, and that his son Jesus Christ can send the light to warm our vessel, that we can grow in him, you see, built up, rooted in him. He said that you may know the breadth, the length and the depth and the height. And you just keep praying. I want to do the best I can for the gracious God that did everything for all mankind. He said the breadth. I believe somewhere, sometimes breadth and length is quite close if you're measuring something, but I want to separate them for a time. They're separated in the scripture for a reason. I want to see if I can touch that this morning. I believe the breadth of the love of God reached all the way back to the first Adam. And I believe it reaches all the way to the very end of all mankind. And there wasn't a single soul that got left between the cracks. And there wasn't one that he didn't die for. There wasn't one, thank you, Lord, he said, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He extended his love all the way across the human race. There wasn't a one. Aren't you glad, children? There's not a one that got left out. Aren't you glad that he didn't skip over you? He didn't look past you and find another. But every one of us is numbered before his eyes. Every one of us. He said, thank you, Lord. He said another place, the very hair of our head is numbered before him.
Right.
Aren't we glad that he didn't leave you out? He didn't leave me out of his wonderful plan. I'm glad that we've got one that died for all mankind.
Amen.
The Ancient of Days is one in his breath. As generations go and they come and they pass, we heard the brother speak of the ones that are going on. But God still is. We We've had generation after generation after year after year documented in the book. And time since then, and still God is. Still He is. Aren't you glad? He's still alive and well. And He's one that sits at the right hand of the throne of grace pleading our case. Aren't you glad He pleads your case? I'm sure glad He pleads mine. I'm sure glad. Oh, that He looks down from the heavenly abode and looks unto His footstool and pleads my case. He said the length of the love of God. Bear with me. See if I can pick this up just for a second. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He is one that His love is enduring from everlasting to everlasting. He is one that does not fail, but His victory is sure. He is one that He, the length of God, separate from the breadth, the length of God is from everlasting to everlasting. What does it mean to me? It means the most. He didn't leave today out, you see. Amen. His love of God. He said in one place, maybe it over in Lamentations, He said that, well, we'll just read it, that we're not messing it up. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. If it was not for His extending love, even this morning, His love and His mercy and compassion, we'd be all consumed. Would none of us be here? But because of His sweet love. Yes. You can go over to the well-quoted third chapter of the book of John and pick up the love of God. Maybe you'll read it on your own time. I don't feel like I need to this morning. But I can tell you, everlasting from everlasting is the length of His love. He said that, thank you, Lord. He said that He is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, with no beginning of days and no ending of days. I'm glad that there's no ending of days for Him. I'm glad that He's still the one that holds it all in His hands, you see. And He holds the world that's going to melt with fervent heat one day when He calls it all over. He has control of it all. The depth of the love of God. Oh, the depth. I believe He said that I may preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, the richness of God. Hell, that we try the best we can, and we can't even just drop a bucket. Just a drop in the bucket of His love and His care for us. He sent His Son for to die for us. He said in another place that He was made sin for us. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a servant of the King. Aren't you glad that you're a child of the King? And if you're not a child of the King, are you missing the greatest gift of love you've ever had? Amen. In Jesus Christ. He said, in the depth, I thought about how that Lord took me over to the Song of Solomon. And He said in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon,
He said they brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Oh, the love of God. He said in the next verse, stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. I can tell you, oh, the rich goodness of God when we get home. Oh, the love that we'll feel. We just got an earnest deposit down here, but when we get over home, it's going to be wonderful beyond compare. Oh, the goodness, love of God, to see all His majesty and all His glory, and to see the marks that He bore for us. He bore for me and for you.
You know, in another place, He said that love is strong as death. A few chapters over in the Song of Solomon, love is strong as death. You know, that brought me back. God, I'm glad I can still go back to the old altar bench and old country church. When the weight got so heavy, that God got a hold upon me, and that I gave to Him meek as the best I could, and laid everything aside, and He saved my soul. You know, there came a point when I was a praying where I said, you know what, God? They could lock the church and go to the house. They'd already closed up service on the Sunday. It just came between me and Him. And I can tell you, I was willing to not take one more step. I'll go one more day, or one more meal, or one more anything. I was just going to die right there if He didn't save me. Love, as strong as death. Aren't you glad He didn't come up short? He didn't call the legions of angels to deliver Him, but it took Him all the way to the cross of Calvary. He bled and died for us, and He was buried and rose again the third day and ascended days after. Aren't you glad we have a living God?
Amen.
A living God. Not one that's dead. Not one, thank you, Lord, that's gone on a journey. But one, He said that He was not asleep, but one that is alive and well.
Amen.
I'm glad that we've got one that's alive and well, brother. Bless God, I'm glad we've got one that's rich. Thank you, Lord. He said in another place, maybe in the 50th chapter of the book of Psalms, you keep up praying. I need the Lord's help. But in the 50th chapter of the book of Psalms, He said in the 10th verse, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. There's not one fowl that falls from the sky that He doesn't know it.
Amen.
He doesn't know it. Aren't you glad that the King we serve knows it all? The depth of His love, the richness of His grace. He said the height thereof of the love of God. I'm glad that, thank you, Lord, He plucked me out of the miry clay. Deep was I in the miry clay. He plucked me out and set me upon the rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth that I can sing the praises of God. Aren't you glad? That from the depths of the darkness, all the way to the third heaven, He reaches. Maybe He said, maybe we can find that over in 1 Kings. You just keep praying. In the 8th chapter, He said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Thee. How much less this house that I have building. Aren't you glad that you've got one? That fills it all, you see. His glory and His majesty fills it all. You know, His love is one that He said when He was asked, when He walked upon the earth, He said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. And the second is likened unto it, to love your brother as yourself.
And he said, on these two are hung the whole law and the prophets. And another place he said, I have not come to destroy but to fulfill. And I'm glad that he fulfilled it all. He didn't come up short in one point. But he filled it all for you and for me. Aren't you glad? We've got one that's rich in compassion. That's good in glory and majesty. That stands for us, you see. Pleads our case.
The love of God is not like the world teaches. They want to teach the love of God is the love of God, and there's not another side. But I believe he said, those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. And the love of God, he loves us so much, he corrects us.
Amen.
He sets us right, you see. When we go off to the left hand and we get off the course, he sets us back on the right way. And when we go off to the right hand, he picks us up and sets us back on the way of Christ. His love, he cares for us. He just doesn't let us go on and live the way that we want to. But his love helps us because he is the good shepherd, the one that loves his sheep, that keeps them, the flock of God together, that we may be alive for him in this world. That we may be able to stand upon the truth. That we may be able to do what he asks us to do, you see. The sweet love of God. I hope that you know the love of God. And down in here, a lot of people love God out in the world and they don't know him. But I'm glad that the love of God can dwell within you. That you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And if you know the love of God, I want you to follow the Spirit that he so gently and tenderly leads us by. Hold to the truth. Churches, I would that the love of God would, he said in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, right after I read just a few verses, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
We have a gift that's precious. We should hold it that way. We should walk in the sight of God like it is that way. And because it is. And we should, when we're faced with the things of the world, we should follow the things of God.
Amen.
Churches, I would love for you to be built up in the love of God, that there be a unity in the bond of peace. Because in the days we live, we have need to be together in the love of God. It doesn't mean that you love, 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 and there's not a situation where that you have an issue, because his love does straighten us out. But aren't you glad? He's never striped me for something I did not do. Every time he striped me and corrected me, I did it. If I'll be honest before God, I was guilty. I was guilty. He's not one. I've got two children at the home. And I can tell you that sometimes they'll get in a tussle. You don't know which one did it. You correct them both if you need to. But God gets it right every time.
Amen. Amen.
There's not one time that he hadn't gotten me straightened out. That I said, God, I just didn't do that. His sweet love is tender and sweet. He said, my beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engedi. Go read about it and the richness and the goodness of that land that he spoke of. I can tell you that the goodness of God, it passeth knowledge of this world. It reaches to the heavens. And one day after a while, we're going to get to go home. And that love will not end, but it will continue. Brother Moderator, if it be so, the churches follow the lead of God, however that you feel that we need to go, let's follow that.